April 17th, 2018, we're in the last narrow line here on Daf Gimel Amud Bet, and the Gemara starts with a statement which ostensibly is not really connected to Megillah. It's connected to the name of the rabbi whom we've been discussing for just a little bit, but to Megillah itself, it will not be, at least according to Rashi's interpretation. Ve'amar b'Yoshua ben Levi, kerach she'yashav u'lebasof hukaf, nidon kikvar. So here's the circumstance and here's the background. The background is the Torah describes that there are different types of cities and they have different types of halachot, right? So you have what's called Batei Arei Choma. Batei Arei Choma means they're cities that are surrounded by walls. Now, if it's a city that's surrounded by walls, says the Torah, here's the status. If you sold a home within that city, you have a year to go back to the person you sold it to and you can force the money into his hand and say, give it back to me. After a year, it's his, and it's his, and even at Yovel, it won't come back to you.
However, if,
what's that?
A walled city?
Only? That's a walled city. A non-walled city, it's not Batei Arei Choma, so I sold you my house. I have until Yovel to force you to sell it back to me. If I didn't do that, so I wait until Yovel, and it comes back to me automatically. That's the difference in status in terms of Batei Arei Choma and regular batim in cities that don't have walls. Again, can I coerce you only within a year, or do I have forever to coerce you to sell it back to me? Will Yovel return it to me or not? If you're in a walled city, you got the raw side of the deal. If you're in a non-walled city, this is Pesukim in the Torah, you have a little bit of a better deal. So anyway, says the Gemara here in that context, Kerach sheyashav. What about the following circumstance? We have people who are dwelling in homes over here in Brooklyn, and then they build a city, a wall around them. What's the status of these homes? Do they get the status of Batei Arei Choma, in which you have a little bit of more difficult? Nidon kikvar, the halacha is they keep their original status of non-walled. Mai ta'ama dichtiv, v'ish kimkor bet moshav, Ir Choma. Listen to the pasuk in the Torah, right? A person, so Parashat Behar, coming up, not too far away. V'ish ki yimkor bet moshav. I sell my dwelling home, Ir Choma, which finds itself in the city which has a wall. That's the Gemara. Shehukaf l'basof yashav. V'lo sheyashav l'basof hukaf. I mean, listen to the wording in the pasuk. The pasuk seems to imply that the city is in a walled, the home is in a walled city, as opposed to, there is a walled city around this home. Okay, ve'amar b'Yoshua ben Levi. Now, back to Megillah issues. Kerach, she'en bo asara batlanim. We mentioned this earlier, it's really a Mishnah, as the Gemara will say in just a bit, on Daf He, so it says that if it's a city that doesn't have 10 batlanim, Batlani means they're batel for melacha, means you have 10 people who aren't working. You need that, and we'll discuss about it in just a second. You need that in order to consider a city, quote unquote, a city. If you don't have those 10 people, what's the status of this city? One second. If you don't have the 10 people in that city, that's kfarim, right? Remember our Mishnah on Daf Bet. The Mishnah talks about three different types of circumstances. The ones that are important for us are you have a city, they read always on 14th. Then you have kfarim. Kfarim, we said, are the suburban dwelling places. How do I define kfarim? Is Brooklyn a kfar? Is Brooklyn a ir? So how would you decide that? So the Mishnah didn't really define that for us. The Mishnah and Daf He will, but Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi seems to be jumping the gun and defining for us as well. So it says, okay, you need to have 10 batlanim. You need to have 10 people in this area, in the city, who are batel, who aren't going out to work, who are always around. For what, says Joey, for the Beit Midrash. Potentially for the Beit Midrash, maybe for the Beit Knesset, regardless. Tehillim, right? In other words, you have these types. Okay, now here's the statement of Yoshua ben
Levi.
No. Batlanim just means batel from melacha. It's not Yoshve Keranot or something like that. What was the question,
Joe?
It potentially could be, but it needs 10 bums who are accessible to come to Knis, who would come to Knis, because that's the point. The point is they're accessible. Ve'amar b'Yoshua, kerach she'en bo asara batlanim. Or if you don't have those 10 batlanim, nidon kikvar. What's the status? The status is, it's like a kvar. What's a kvar? That's the suburban area, right? In other words, if you don't have those 10, What's your status? Your status is kfar. What's the halachic difference between kfar and ir? Ir is 14, and kerach has yom hakinisa. It could be 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay. Now, it says, before we go onward, now, are we talking about even walled cities? Or are we talking about specifically the cities of 14? Even a walled city? No, it's even in a walled city? Why not?
No,
it
doesn't say. It just says kfar.
No, it says, you don't want kfar. You want to know krach.
Krach.
Well, if you look at our Mishnah, what we call cities that were walled? Cities that were walled in our Mishnah, we called them kerachim hamukafin homa. So if anything, it does sound that way. You know, you're saying because it doesn't krach. It's general krach. Krach. So it happens to be a mahlok between Rashi and Tosafot. Again, listen to ramifications. I live in a walled city. Do I always read on the 15th, regardless of how many people are batlanim? Why would I say so? Well, that's what the pasuk in Megillat Esther says about Shushan. Or is it dependent upon these 10 batlanim? You know, that's mahlok between Rashi and Tosafot in terms of how you read the himshech of the Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara. But what is that? Wait a second. Ben Levi, you're an Emora, right? You're living in the time of the Gemara. It's a wonderful statement that you tell me you need to have these 10 batlanim in order to give it the status of a city or walled city or whatever, however you slice it on this matter. But the Mishnah said that explicitly. I mean, you come into the Knis and you quote me sometimes. What are you doing? It's in Shulchan Aruch. You came in, you read a line from Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi, I have a great chidush. What's your chidush? It's a Mishnah. So we didn't need a rabbi from the Gemara to be stated. So, my kamash ma'anan. What's this coming to teach us? My ma kamash ma'anan. Ze melamed otan. What's this teaching us? Tanina, we have an explicit Mishnah here on Daf Heh, just one page away, right? Tanina, ezo hi ir gedola, says the Mishnah. Kol sheyesh ba asara batlanim. It says that's the status. So says the Gemara. Pahot mikan, says the Mishnah. Hareze kvar. So really, what's the chidush of Yehoshua ben Levi? Answers the Gemara, no. Yehoshua ben Levi was teaching us a chidush. Kerach itzdarich aleh. Yehoshua ben Levi was teaching us the following statement. He says, listen, let's say you live in a public area. So you live in a public area which has marketplaces and has all sorts of attractions and all sorts of got stuff going on. But you know, just the reality of that area is people... Not today, but once, I don't know, 20 years ago even. Midtown. Who lived in Midtown? I don't know. If there were people, it's probably blue-collar people living there. That's my guess, maybe 25 years ago. So you're not dealing with batlanim in that neighborhood. But when it comes down to it, you got people walking around all the time, right? Now, what's the status of such a situation? Let's be logical over here. The reason you want the 10 people is to make sure you're always going to have Kiryat HaMegillah. In other words, we don't need to establish for this area that they'll go into the big city in order to get Megillah, because they'll always have Megillah over here. That's why they get 14 or 15 as a set date. So I'm in Midtown. I live in Midtown. I want to greet the Megillah in Midtown. There's always going to be a Minyan. I mean, who are we kidding? There's always going to be people around. But do they live there? That's what Yehoshua ben Levi's chidush is. Even if it's krach, even if it's Midtown, where you're always going to have those 10 people, but they don't dwell there. They're not batlanim. They're not the midrash people, the lepchas. They're not the guys who are always accessible. It just, you assume they'll always make their way there. The assumption is not enough for this. You need to actually have asara batlanim who live and dwell and hang out in that area. So says the Gemara, kerach. Itzdarich le, the concept of kerach, in other words, public area itzdarich le, afal gav, even though demikal'ele me'alma, even though people come in and visit from all around, alma literally means from the world, from all over the place, still, what's the halakha in such a circumstance? What would we have considered midtown, therefore? Kfarim. But it's not a kfar, it's public, and there's people always around. Doesn't matter. If he can't verify if the market's closed that day, whatever the circumstance is, if it's a holiday that overlaps. Okay, that's next. Next statement from Yehoshua ben Levi. We had two statements. First one, Batei Arechoma. The next one, in terms of this Asara Batlanim. Today is going to be the Yehoshua ben Levi's day to shine. Ve'amar Yehoshua ben Levi, Kerach, Sheharav, Ulebasof Yashav. I say, here's the circumstance. It was a city. It had Asara Batlanim. Forget about Asar HaBatlanim. It had a city with a wall. The wall was taken down and then built back up. That's what we're assuming this means. Okay, that's what we're assuming this means. All the words say are, it was Yashav, Nehrav, Ulebasof Yashav. I don't really know what those words mean. We're assuming right now that means the wall. Okay, what's the halakha in such a circumstance? Nidon kikrach, it keeps its original status. Again, this is what we're assuming. It had a wall from Yemot Yehoshua Minun.
broken.
It fell. And then it was rebuilt. What's the status? Yoshua bin Nun, 15.
What if it wasn't rebuilt?
Says Joko, what are you talking about? If it wasn't rebuilt? Well, this is not dependent on if it has a wall right now. This is dependent upon if it had a wall in Yemot Yoshua bin Nun. If you go to any city today and you know that in that area, if you go to Shushan today and there's no wall there, you're still reading on the 15th. Says the Gemara, my harav. What does the word harav mean over here? We're referring to the wall. Ilema harvu chomotav. If you tell me, it refers to the walls being destructed. Yashav in lo yashav lo. In Aramaic means yes. You mean to tell me that specifically when the wall's up, they read on 15, if they don't, they lose that status. V'hatanya, doesn't the Baraita say, Rabbi Eliezer bar Yosef Omer, Asher lo choma. Now this is in the context of Batei Arei Choma, but we apply it to Megillah as well. And again, read the words in the Pasuk. It says, as a house, which is in a city, Asher lo choma. What does the word lo mean?
It has,
but look at the way it's spelt in the Torah. Lamed Vav Aleph. That Aleph, it sounds like Lo. So the Derasha over here is, even if it doesn't have it, but it initially had it, Chalas, that's good enough. Asher lo choma af al pi she'en lo achshav, v'haya lo kodem lachen. So again, what do we have so far? We have the statement from Yoshua ben Levi. Yoshua ben Levi's statement goes like this. Even if the city was once Yashav, dwelling, then Harav,
broken,
not broken, and then Yashav again, it maintains the status of walled city. So I said, well, what are you talking about? That it needs to have the actual wall? Not true. So what are those words Yashav and Harav mean? Says Gemara, Elamai Harav, Sheharav me'asara batlanim. The statement is like this. It goes like this. Initially, it's either a walled city that keeps its wall, doesn't have its wall, we don't care about, or we're talking about a 14-day one. Nothing to do with the wall. It's a place which had 10 batlanim. It lost the 10 batlanim and now regained them. What's the status? 14/15 or now it becomes like a kfar? What are you talking about? It's got 10 batlanim? Of course it takes 14 or 15. What type of question is this? So Tosafot explains, we would have had a safek. Well, come on, look at this place. They lost, they have again. Who said this is not a stable city? You're going to give them a status even right now as city 14/15, whatever the circumstances? No, they lost their batlanim, they gained them back. It's not a stable place. They're not financially stable, they're not residentially stable, and as such, maybe we would change their status and keep it as kfar and make them have to go and find the closest 14th city to get it on Yom HaKinisa. The Hidush of Yoshua ben Levi is absolutely not. They maintain their status or they retain their status once they have the Asara
Batlanim. If they lose the 10 people in the Midrash,
mm-hmm.
What happens to the city now?
Lose
the status of
that's absolutely of reading on the 14.
Aha, so it loses status because they have no minyan, for instance.
They'll have a minyan, but they don't have a verified minyan. They don't have, you're going to walk into.
If they bring back the minyan, it gives a different status?
Then it goes back to the 14. Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's
so
the statement.
If they end up reading in the, whether it's kafar or akra, on the 14th, if they end up reading on the 13th in the city or in that kafar, that shouldn't be good. Because
we'll make them read it
traveled.
Again. That's right.
Meaning, if this is a quasi-city, if they have 10 batlanim or not, and they end up making it on the 12th.
Yes. But it had 10 batlanim or not.
It doesn't.
They
ended up making it in the city. Do they have to? Are they required to travel outside of that area to read 2 days earlier?
Repeat the question. Let me get it again.
So this is a city or a
I think village. What you're asking is...
Let's call it a village.
Yes.
Doesn't have 10 batlanim.
Good.
They usually travel to the closest city
right.
On the Monday or Thursday.
And they did so.
No. Instead of traveling, they ended up getting a minyan in the kfar, and they want to read it on the 12th.
Right.
Are they allowed to do that?
No.
No. 14.
No, because we wanted the system to be built in a fashion that we don't have these satellite readings. We want, and we discussed a little bit on Daf Bet. We'll see it again just in a little bit as the logic behind it. But we want for you guys, we want for them. We really want this unity of sorts for specific practical reasons of you reading together with them. Don't read it in your place, even if you have Baal Koreh, even if you have Minyan.
Unless you have it on the 14th, the Minyan?
Even if you have. No, we don't want reading in the Kfar.
Reading in the Kfar.
We don't want reading in the Kfar. No. You know,
even on the 14th.
Yeah. Even on the 14th.
What if the guy can't leave? He's sick or something.
What's that?
What if the family's...
I'm sorry.
Why can't you read for him?
I'll read for him, I guess. I don't know what you would do in such a circumstance. My bad, if he's sick. It's not a regular circumstance. But under regular circumstances, we don't...
I hear what he's saying. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't you make sense. Especially on the 14th.
But again, keep in mind, we are nervous about two things. Probably more. First and foremost, we're nervous about the kfar. You're going to set price. Let's just think about this logically. All right, you put together a shtibul minyan.
Mm-hmm.
But if this year you had a minyan, next year you're not going to have a minyan, but you're going to say that you have a minyan next year, and we're going to mess everything up because you're going to say that we're reading on the 14th. Yom HaKinisa already passed. The next one's only on the 17th. You're too late already. And you said that you're going to have the minyan because you had it last year. In other words, they wanted to keep a system in which they were certain that there was going to be the proper approach to Megillah Avriah. That's how I understand the Sanshei Knesset Gedolah Takana initially. Keep in mind as well, we want the kfarim in the cities. We want them selling goods in the cities. We want them helping out on the 14th in the city. We want, you know, we have several things that we want.
You're expecting men, women, and children, and elderly to leave the kfar to go on Yom Kenisa for a reading. Right? Here it's very convenient. You got 1,000 people in these three buildings because it's convenient.
Right.
It's close. You can walk. You don't have to find parking.
Right.
Tell us to go walk to I don't know, Avenue T in East
3rd. Not walk. Take your horse. But, your donkey. Right. Although, let's just add as well, there's a certain dynamic that's positive in that as well, because you get a certain unity, you get a certain mm-hmm. experience out of it. I am certain.
Can't read on the 14th.
I gotcha. But we want to keep a certain certain stability.
Rule. I want to keep the rule.
What I can tell you is I get all the, and I understand them, and I'm fighting for Anshei Knesset HaGedolah on this. But I do want you to know that I am certain that all these takanot and all these types of decisions, I think they're not only for the system, I think they took the kahal into full account at the times of inception. I say it all the time, the halachot of mukzeh, the Gemara explains their purpose, and they were once in order to keep people within the proper mindset of Shabbat. If you asked me, today we cannot and may not go against the halachot of mukzeh, but the adding of the additional restrictions doesn't work the way it once probably did. In other words, there was once this concept, the more we restrict the people, the more their minds will be confined to the proper matters. Yeah. Today, the more you constrict people, the more they backfire, the more they chuck it all.
They walk away.
But, you know, again, that the system is such that's not, but what I'm saying is I think that, so people have said to me about mukzeh, the rabbis said, I think they were fully cognizant and sensitive as to the dynamics of the time. I think you just need to try to, and it's hard to, put yourself back in that.
To continue with this subject, isn't there like a little leniency for that town if they really can't go out with families?
No, they gotta go. No, because that's the system. Yeah, says the Gemara, Ve'amar B'Yoshua ben Levi, Ve'amar B'Yoshua ben Levi, Lod, Ve'ono, Ve'gai ha'harashim, Mukafot choma mi'imot Yoshua ben Nun. So he has the statement over here about three places, which were apparently their walls, as Rashi explains it based on Pesukim, seem to have been new. So their walls seemed new. So people looked at those walls and said, these couldn't have been built in the days of Yoshua ben Levi. Here, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, I have tradition, these three places, their wall is from Mimot Yoshua ben Levi, and therefore they should be reading on 15. From Yoshua ben Nun, yeah. The statements of Yoshua ben Levi, right? Mukafot choma mimot Yoshua ben Nun havu. Says the Gemara, really? The walls of these cities were built. These cities are in the area in Eretz Israel of Binyamin. V'hane Yehoshua baninu. These walls were built in the time of Yehoshua. V'ha el pa'el, baninhi. The Pasuk elsewhere, the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, describes a time period during which Melech Israel went ahead and was building cities, not only in his domain, but also in the Binyamin domain and the walls as well. And it cites a Pasuk over here, which is, Ubne el Pa'al, Ever Umisham Vashamer, Hubana et Onovet, Lod Ubnoteas. It means it's the construction of these cities was after the time of Yehoshua ben Levi, after Yehoshua.
Binun.
Thank you. Right. So what are you talking about? You're telling me you have a tradition that these were built in the time of Yeshua. Binun. But the Pasuk says that it was a lot later. Says the Gemara, Amar Bil Azar, Hane, it must be, I'm skipping after those parentheses, Mukafot Choma Miyemot Yehoshua Binun. They were in fact walled in the times of Yeshua Binun. havu haruv bime pilegesh begiv'a. That's at the end of Shofetim, or Perek Chaf in Shofetim, during which there was this fight against the people in the Binyamin territory, if you know your Tanakh, right? And there was destruction. And so that was the time when these cities from Shevet Binyamin, from Chelek Binyamin, their cities were destructed. And what happened? Ve'ata el pa'al banini. And he goes and he builds it. Hadur in Pul, they then fell again. Ata Asa Shapsinu. And he says, and then Asa, and this was a pasuk that was really cited in the middle here that I accidentally skipped over, right? It said, Asa Banin, it said the Gemara Uli Ta'amech. I'm sorry, I'm 5 lines from the top of the page. Uli Ta'amech Asa Banini. It describes a later period during which these walls were constructed, and quotes another pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, Vayiven Are Mesura Bihuda. So what seems to be happening is I have a complete confusion. I have a tradition from Yehoshua ben Levi that they were built in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. I have a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim which explicitly mentions these cities as being built later in El Pa'al's time. And then I have another pasuk which seems to imply that it was from Asa. So that's Gemara. You want to know how to explain this? They were built in time of Yehoshua ben Nun. That's our tradition. They fell. They were rebuilt by El Pa'al. They fell again, and then they were shipsinu. They were fixed up by this Asa.
So.
And as well, Kepler status, that was his statement earlier, 100%. But again, they wouldn't have needed any wall at all. Just the confusion over here is, but the wall looks new. Now, don't get confused about that. But the Pesukim don't imply this. Don't get confused about that either. Amar bil Azar, hane mukafot homa mimot Yehoshua bin Nun havu, haruv bime pilegesh bagiv'a. Again, Pilegesh HaGiv'a is a specific occurrence which is described at the end of Sefer Shofetim. Ve'ata means he came, El Pa'al Banini. Hadur means again in Pul, they fell. Ata Asa Shapsinu. Dikan Ameh Dechtiv, the Gemara says, in fact, you can deduce this from the careful wording, sensitive wording of the Pasuk. Dechtiv Ayom El Yehuda Nivne Et He'arim Ha'ele. And it says, let's build these cities. What do you mean these cities? They say, let's build a city.
Right.
Let's build a city. It sounds as if they existed. We're just rebuilding them. It implies that they were initially cities and now just being rebuilt. Me'ikara means initially. Shema mina. We can deduce from this that that's in fact the reality. Okay, now getting a lot more practical. Okay, these are all the statements of Yehoshua ben Levi. Practical enough, just, you know, we live in America. It wasn't discovered in the time of Yehoshua bin Nun. Ve'amar Yehoshua ben Levi. Nashim. Hayavot b'mikra Megillah. Women,
yes,
although it's a positive time bal mitzvah, are nonetheless obligated in Megillah. She'af en hayu b'oto hanes, because they too were part of the miracle of lahashmid laharog ulabet, says Rashi. And now, this is a statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi in 3 places in Talmud. It's in Gemara Masechet Pesachim and Daf Kufchet in the context of Arba Kosot on Lil Seder. It's in Masechet Shabbat Daf Chav Gimal in the context of Nerot Hanukkah. And it's over here on Daf Dalid in Masechet Megillah in the context of Mikra Megillah. The statement seems to be because they were part of the miracle, they too are obligated. You would have thought. You would have. That's a good question. But these three, it certainly does. It's not mentioned in other contexts. First things first. What does it mean? Afen hayuboto anes. What does that statement mean? Since they were part of the miracle, so Rashi, as I just mentioned, seems to imply they were just part of it. Yes. So if you take a look at the left-hand side of Tosafot, she'afen hayuboto anes, they quote a different tradition from none other than the grandson of Rashi, Rashbam, in his Perush Masechet Pesachim. I'm in the fourth Tosafot on the left-hand side, she'afen hayuboto anes, kind of in the middle of the page. Piresh Rashbam, so they're citing from this grandson of Rashi, she'ikar hanes haya al yadan, they were integral, they were the central figure in each one of these miracles. That's what Sha'afen Ayuboto Hanes means. And therefore, Joko, wouldn't apply to all miracles that transpired in our history. It's specifically these. How so? Bepurim al Yideh Esther. That's easy enough. Behanukkah al Yideh Yehudit. What's Yehudit? Judith, right? Judith, we have this apocryphal book, which is called the Book of Judith. Now, it was never entered into our Tanakh, neither was the Book of Hashmonaim. But Judith, historically speaking, is a difficult sell. We have one late midrash that records this. Even in our tradition, we don't seem to have it. Although, and I pointed this out earlier this year, Hanukkah time, although in the art scroll books on Hanukkah, it's codified. This took place. What was the story of Yehudit? That's not an integral play. Right now, in Rashbam, they need to be the main character. Oh. Who was Yehudit? It's a very similar story based on this tradition of some sort, to the story of Ya'el. She gets involved with the general of the Greeks, and she intoxicates him, or she gives him milk, or something like that, and ends up killing him. It's very similar to the story of Ya'el, and as such, the general approach as to why it was never included, and why we never had it in Talmud, is this was kind of a story of inspiration, less factual. Okay, but anyway, that's Rashbam's tradition on this matter. But Pesach, what about Pesach?
Well, they left Egypt.
Joe, again, this is Rashbam who's saying they need to be the central figure. So he quotes from a Gemara Masechet Sota, which says Shebizchut Tzadkaniyot Shebeotor Ador Nigalu. Gemara Masechet Sota, the rabbinic tradition on this matter is that the women were those who brought the merit for us to, you know, that's the Doresh Los Psukim in Shir Hashirim about how the women were enticing the men to have sexual relations in order to have children, even during a time of persecution. Okay, so that's what now says Tosaf. I'm not so sure about that. Let's translate the word she'af. What does she'af mean?
Even.
Even they were a part of the miracle. According to you, Rashbam, the word should be they were the miracle. What's even they were a part of the miracle? Even certainly doesn't make it sound like they were the central part of it. Says Tosafot, ulperosho hayalo lomar, excuse me, v'kashe, says Tosafot, de lashon she'af hen, mashmash en tfelot, it sounds like they're only ancillary part of this miracle. Ulperosho, and according to Rashbam, hayalo lomar, it should have instead say, shehen, they were the miracle. Lekach nira li, says Tosafot, like Rashi, she'af hen hayu, besafek, de lashmid laharog. That's what Joey wanted, right? This just means they were part of the danger. And as such, the rabbis came along and each one of these circumstances and said, you were also a part of it. You are obligated to commemorate it as well. Then Tosafot continues to ask a question. It says, why are women obligated in matzah? Gemara Masech Pesachim says the reason they're obligated in matzah is because we have a hekesh. Hekesh means when Pasuk puts two concepts next to each other, then we have tradition on it to link the two. What's the most famous in this respect? Right? Kol sheyeshno b'shmirah, yeshno b'zechirah. We say women are obligated in kiddush on Shabbat and potentially havdalah. Why? Because they're obligated in the mitzvot lo ta'aseh. Why they obligate mitzvot lo ta'aseh? They're obligated in all mitzvot lo ta'aseh. Kol sheyeshno b'shmirah, yeshno b'zechirah. When it comes to Pesach as well, masah, why are women obligated in masah? There's a derasha, kol sheyeshno b'bal tochal hametz, yeshno b'kum echol masah. There's a hekesh between shivat yamim tochal masot and not having hametz. If you're obligated in hametz, women are, so they're certainly obligated in masah as well. Says Tosafot, why didn't you just say she'afin hayu b'oto anez? Simple interpretation. Answers to Tosafot, perhaps their explanation is because Afin Hayu Ba'oto Anes is a rabbinic rationale for obligating. It wouldn't obligate them on a deoraita, on a biblical level as well, on a Torah level as well, and therefore says Tosafot, you couldn't have given the reason of Afin Hayu Ba'oto Anes. Is that really so? Is that a great argument over here that Tosafot is saying that Afin Hayu Ba'oto Anes is only on the rabbinic level? To a certain extent, yes, because whoever heard of women being obligated, based on some sort of logic that you fashioned out of, I don't know, your own logic of some sort. Anyway, so then Tosafot concludes, they quote from one other opinion of Benu Yosef Ish Yushalayim, who seems to accept that this would be even on a deoraita level, and he in turn would have to have a different interpretation explanation for this. Okay, so that's this Tosafot. Yes,
one question.
Yes, sir.
When they left Egypt, they had Sukkot, no?
Yes.
The women were there.
Right, so one of two answers. Well, yeah. Firstly,
they're not allowed to get it.
I gotcha. Firstly, at the most, it's going to obligate us only from a deoraita, derabanan level, right, according to this interpretation.
Why derabanan?
Because that's the argument that we were just advancing, that the Afin Hayu Ba'oto Anes will only obligate them midrabbanan, not min haTorah. Okay. Alternatively, and this is a common explanation, the question is over here, each one of these mitzvot that we're mentioning, they are persum hanes. The concept of the mitzvah is to show the miracle that took place. Sukkot, not necessarily, it's zecheh le'anane hakavod. The inspiration for it is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept us safe when we left Egypt. When we put on tefillin, why do we put on tefillin? Does that mean women are obligated in tefillin as well? No. The inspiration for tefillin came because of the miracle. When you put on the tefillin are not an embodiment of pirsum hanes. That's that explanation. Then there's a Tosafot right on top of this. It's an important Tosafot. We're not going to read it inside, but I'll summarize a few outside. The Gemara again says that women are obligated in mikra megillah. Well, there's an interesting thing over here, says Tosafot, because first things first, says Tosafot. Does that mean that they could be motzi men as well?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's a good question.
Mikra Megillah?
I would say yes.
So Javi says yes. Says Tosafot. Certainly sounds like that. Afan yubot onis, and they could be motzi anashim. Says Tosafot, but I have a Mishnah, excuse me, a Beraita, Masechet Arachin, which says the following: Androgynos. What's an androgynos? Half woman, half man. Can only be motzi et mino. Can only read Megillah for an androgynos. That's it. That's what the Mishnah, that's what the Baraita says. Tosafot, one second. At the very least, he's half woman, half man, he's obligated on both ends of it. Why is he only reading for androgynos? He should be able to read for everyone. If a woman's obligated and can read for a man, so why would you say an androgynos can't read for a man? Says Tosafot, it therefore appears, they quote this from Bahag, from Baal Halachot Gedolot, that it therefore appears that women are only obligated in as much as being able to fill for other women. It's a new chiyuv. It's a chiyuv, a woman chiyuv. And so they can have their own readings. They can read for themselves. They can't read for men. That's the suggestion of Tosafot. How we posek lahalacha on this matter? Well, that's Bahag. Right, Bahag. Anyone ever hear of Bahag? We talk about Bahag in the Sfirat HaOmer time. He's the rabbi who says that you need it to be moth, that if you miss one day, you can't make a bracha any longer. That's Bahag. This is the other fanfare that Bahag really gets. He gets his two moments in the sun in terms of contemporary practice of halacha. Says Harambam Perikav v'lchod Megillah halacha bet ehada kore ve'hada shomea mina kore yatsa yedei chovah. Okay, you hear it or you listen to it, you're yotze. Vehu sheishma mimishu hayav. You have to be hearing from someone who's hayav. Bikriata. Levichach. Therefore, imaya kore katan o shote. If the reader is a child or cognitively impaired, hashomea mimenu lo yasa. What's not on his list? What's not? Women's not on his list. So it seems clear from Harambam that a woman could read for a man. So how we posek lahalacha on this matter? Shulchan Aruch siman tafresh petlet saif bet. Echada kore. Excuse me. Halacha aleph first. Hakol hayavim bekriyata. Anashim v'nashim v'gerim v'avadim shuchlarim u'mchanchina teknanim mikrota. Fantastic. Echada kore. Echada shomea mina kore. Yatsa yedei chovato. Use the words of Harambam. V'hu shishma mishu haya bekriyata. Lefichach. אם היה הקורא חירש או קטן או שופה, השומע ממנו לא יעשה. So far it said like הרמב״ם, women should be able to. ויש אומרים, יש אומרים, it's going to be בהג, right? שהנשים אינם מוציאות את האנשים. So Shulchan Aruch did et ha'anashim. So says Shulchan Aruch, stam, right, that's called stam v'yesh. His first statement is, women could exempt the man. Next, v'yesh omrim, not that way. What do we do in these circumstances of stam v'yesh and Shulchan Aruch? Halacha kistam. Why is he mentioning two opinions? It's a law book. Rabbi, let Joey kill Maran on this, right? Rabbi, you're confusing us. Tell us the law. Don't tell us all the opinions. Shulchan Aruch gives us two opinions over here. Stam v'yesh. The tradition on this matter is Shulchan Aruch was interested not only in giving you the law, but also in educating you, believe it or not. So he wanted to tell you the halacha, and he also wanted to tell you, but there's another strong opinion. So he goes like this. The halacha is, that's what he'll do in his stab. So he starts the class, he starts the halacha. He says, the halacha is women can exempt men. Parentheses, and that's the halacha. V'yesh omrim, but I want you to know at the same time, and it'll be important for you to know, and also that it's not so simple that some disagree. What's the halacha at the end of the day? That women could be mosi. That's halacha l'maaseh without any questions. Some poskim argue, although it's not a strong argument, that since there's two opinions, ideally,
don't do it.
Ideally, have the men read for the women, or have, make sure that the women hear from a man. Not such a great argument. If we follow Kilale Pesach in Shulchan Aruch, Stam v'yesh, halacha kistam, and therefore women, back to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi in our Gemara, Aven ayubo to anes, and women are obligated to mikra Megillah, just like men. Baruch al-Nadei Olam. Amen.